Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, in my career, I end up meeting a lot of people. And some I like and some I don't, and it's irrelevant. But some I just catch on with because we think alike. And when I met, it's actually, I started calling Eric Chafin, I don't know, was it a year ago, and putting him on with myself and Wendy, and we have the same kind of belief in making a difference. It's funny how radio spots, I get handed copy, and they say, why don't you do this endorsement? Then you read this copy, and it says, doing good by doing right every day and everything we do, and you say, oh, that's a nice hook. And then you don't know Eric, and then you sit down with him, and then you start working with him, and they just throw these things at you. How can we help? How can we help? How can we help? And I said, we got to do more. And if we can, I got to get you involved in some of the things that I'm doing on Sparked, which is my site, and here at KDK. And he has been all in from day one because, well, man, what is it about you? And I ask you this a lot, and I think our audience needs to know this because they all think, oh, yeah, these lawyers are all the same. I don't think you are. I think it goes back to your roots, does it not? And if I'm going to be drilled down even further, I was first interested in your firm because I saw your mother in one of your spots and how generous she is. Is that the root of it?
Yeah, you know, Marty, it's we all have our backstories, right? Our journeys, and you know, it's my mom. You asked me this, I think earlier this week on Giving Tuesday, we were talking about some good that we were doing together, and
yep.
And you know, for me, you know, I was listening to your show obviously before on the way over here today, and the young woman talking about the impact on kids, and you know, just being ridiculed or made fun of, for example, for maybe wearing the same clothes each day. And, you know, my dad growing up, I mean, my dad was somebody who, you know, grew up here in the greater Pittsburgh area and, you know, had five kids, two bedroom house, extremely poor. My grandfather, who was injured very badly, at some point in his life, you know, he wasn't able to earn the income that the family really needed, unfortunately, because of his injuries. And the long story short is, you know, I grew up with a dad who told me stories of collecting pop bottles along the road, wearing the same pair of jeans every day. And so that, you know, just the humiliation, the ridicule from others, the impact on somebody, and the resiliency it can create, frankly, is something I grew up with my dad. And those are stories that I live with and heard from him all the time. And, you know, and so, you know, I went dumpster diving with my grandfather as a kid, you know, picking out old furniture and stuff for them in their house. Even when they did have money, because that's what they were used to, frankly. And so those things, you know, you don't forget them. And they're really what makes a person. And for me, it's not just translating into who I am as a person, but just our entire law firm, frankly. And so, you know, we aim to help and do good. And that's what we want to do within the firm, but then also outside the firm as well.
Well, and you're not ashamed. You're very successful. There's nothing wrong with that, right?
No, look, you know, there's no shame at all. I think it's, and look, you know, the opposite too is there's people that grow up very privileged and there's nothing wrong with that either. It goes in both directions. It's really, I mean, it's really who you are as a person. Can you see the kindness in others? Can you, you know, really be a leader and really emphasize that and help those people grow that within themselves? And that's really, to me, you know, what we need more of in America, frankly, and regardless of politics, just we need more leaders, you know, of all scales and all places.
You know, in the house that I live in, on the street that I live on, if I would drive down the street when I was a little boy with my father, and honestly, I would say this to my dad, and I would point at a house similar to the ones on our street, and I would say, Dad, do they eat steak? And my father would say, yeah, man, they eat steak, because we didn't eat steak. And my dilemma, my conundrum today is, as we exist in a space and time that I never imagined I'd be in terms of being successful, what do I do with my kids? And how do I teach them what I learned by the railroad tracks where we grew up? And what do you do with your kids? What do you do? How can we make sure that they get what we get, sir?
Yeah, you know, I think the first thing is, you know, those conversations with them. You know, it's something to make sure they don't forget where the family comes from and what those roots are. And And just because people are struggling doesn't mean that they're wrong, bad people, or anything else. It means that they just need a hand at that time in their life. And there's something that's really admirable for people that, to reach out and provide that assistance and help with them and leading by example. I mean, that's really for me with my kids, that's what I've done. And you know, I've got two of the most caring and compassionate kids there are, frankly. So
it's important.
It is important.
It's important that they believe what we believe. And at the simplest thing, I was telling them last night about that woman that I had on the air. And I was telling them that if I ever hear that this is how you treat a kid that has less than you, your life will change dramatically and it won't be for the better. We have to be kind. And if it starts with kindness, everything else flows from there. And if you're chasing a dollar, you're chasing a ghost, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's, you know, it's being kind and then also seeing people that are being kind to them and being kind to those people as well and making sure to recognize those people that are out there doing those things. Because, you know, whatever you provide light to grows, frankly, that's what I see in life. And, you know, if you provide light to the people who are, you know, bullying, you know, and say, hey, this isn't right. You can't do this. You shouldn't do this. And then shine light on the people who are then calling them out. I think it just all feeds on a society then that really that creates a better place for everybody.
Eric Chafin joining me. All right, my man. So we're going to talk about this after the break, but you took on two cases that I thought needed real attention from big player lawyers, and there were no questions asked. You got into the middle of it. Why do you do that sort of thing with your firm, sir?
Because we can make a difference. We got the ability and the power to do it because of our success. We're able to help our clients. We want to help others as well.
All right. We're talking to Eric Chafin from Chafin Lujan. The two cases, one of them very, very, very near and dear to my heart. I have a hard time actually talking about it. Nick and Margaret Ersta, and another one involving life and death situations with children who are reported missing. Don't miss this hour. We've got Eric Chafin. Nick and Margaret Ersta came to me over a year ago, and they both volunteered at 9/11 as EMTs when the towers collapsed. Fast forward, Nick got sick from that. The asbestos and other particulates made him sick. He got mesothelioma. And my dear friend died. Ripped our hearts out, actually. We spent a year with contractors and furniture companies and plasterers and rebuilding a house, their dream house, and Nick spent three nights in it, and then he died. It screwed up my head for a long time, quite frankly, because we put so much into it, because I loved him so much. I think about them every day. And they fought and struggled to get compensation because he deserves it, as anyone sickened by this. More men and women have died since the collapse of the towers than died when the towers collapsed. Have some perspective on that. And my dear friend Margaret, Nick's a widow, is with me today. Good morning, my dear. How are you?
Hi. Good. How are you?
How are you holding up?
Oh, I have my good days and my bad days. I got a lot of friends and family around me.
You find yourself in disbelief?
I'm sorry?
Do you find yourself not believing that he's dead?
Sometimes I think I'm in a bad nightmare. And sometimes I just think maybe he's just at work and he'll come home soon.
So... Eric Chafin is with us, and it's made a big difference to have Eric involved in handling your case, has it not, my dear?
Yes, it has.
Tell us why.
It just seems like he cares about what's going on. He cares about people. He cares of everything. He's a good person.
So... the first time you talked with Eric, because this kind of blew me away. He didn't tell me that he was even going to call you, but he asked for your number, so I figured. How long did he talk to you on the phone?
We were on the phone a good maybe hour, 2 hours.
2 hours?
Almost, probably, I think it was.
And I'm not trying
just
to...
talking about everything.
I'm not trying to feed you words here, but I know this for a fact. How were you treated by other attorneys that have represented you about taking care of damages against Nick?
It just seems like that they're just in it for the money, that they don't care about the people.
Yeah. Well, we're going to do everything we can, and I know he is. Eric, do you want to say anything to her before I let her go?
Yeah, just real quick, Marty. Margaret and I first spoke, I think it was on a Sunday, actually, that we had spoken.
Yes, it was on a Sunday.
Yeah, it was a Sunday. And I was just really touched and moved by how close she was with Nick, obviously, and just how much she cared for him. And, you know, this case resonates so much for me on a personal level, even, because, you know, I lost my dad when he was 54. He also was exposed to asbestos. And also just, Nick, Margaret, and I didn't know each other, but we were all 9/11 responders there at 9/11. I was a federal prosecutor at the time and was down at the site. And just, you know, it's just the connections in this case and with you, Marty, is just tremendous. And so really happy to help. I hadn't talked to Margaret yet today. We had a trial going on this week here in Pittsburgh. So I've been tied up with it. But Margaret, the estate was opened up yesterday. And, you know, things are progressing, obviously. And Justin from my office, who's also involved in the case with us, is going to be talking to you. But certainly it's been a pleasure so far to be representing you.
Oh, I appreciate everything.
Thanks, darling. What's going on with the house? Are you happy with it?
Yes. Right. There's a few things that got to get fixed, but they're getting fixed now.
All right.
But yes, everyone keeps saying, aren't you going to sell it? Aren't you moving out? I said, nope, that's mine. It's not going nowhere.
Right on.
It was his wife, and that's where I'm staying.
We've talked about this. Is Nick there with you, his presence?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yep, I feel him all the time.
I always have these ridiculously strange conversations with my parents, quite frankly, and I did this morning with my dad.
I know those feelings. I do, too.
Do you talk to him?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I love you, my dear. We'll call you later.
Love you, too.
All right.
Bye.
So, in the situation with her, what happens when someone gets mesothelioma? Is this like a block situation where lawyers sign up blocks of clients? I get that vibe that that's what happened with them.
You know, it can. I mean, look, our law firm, we do individual personal injury cases. We also do larger mass tort cases, for example, where there's a bad drug, for example, involved. And so the asbestos world is one that, you know, mesothelioma is a signature injury from asbestos. It really becomes about where was the person exposed? And there could be multiple exposures. Here with Nick, I mean, there's obviously the issue with 9/11, but then there's also earlier stuff in his life that he was exposed to asbestos as well. You can handle those cases in different ways. I mean, it's, you know, there's a lot of clients involved. They can get more individualized attention or not, and there's different ways to do that. And so with our firm, we really pride ourselves in that individualized attention, even in the larger cases. So even if we represent hundreds of clients, we go out of our way to make sure to get them the attention that they need to understand the case litigation, the progression of it. And here, I think there was just a fundamental disconnect between what was going on with Nick for a period of months and the firms that she had involved. And so our first aim is to try to remedy that, make sure she's aware of what's going on, and obviously get them the just compensation they deserve.
Mm. All right, we're going to be right back. Eric Chafin with me. So as you look at Nick and Margaret's case, are these tough fights?
Yeah, they can be. I think on the mesothelioma front, it's a matter of the product ID, figuring out where the exposure happened. Nick is one of the first individuals who would have developed mesothelioma from 9/11, for example. It's
pretty early on. It is it a tough fight? Can it take years, I hear?
They're all tough fights. It certainly takes years. Anything in civil litigation takes months, if not years. In the meso world, though, there's different trusts that are set up because some companies are in bankruptcy, for example, and so there is some early money that can be provided to them and certainly help the families. And so that's something we're always evaluating. In terms of the 9/11 Victims Compensation Fund, it's something that was a deficit running for a while, and certainly the cancer cases were only recognized since 2012. The difficult thing in terms of the 9/11 case or the exposure there is really how quickly Nick had developed cancer. But I think there's good hope now based upon the timeline that we see. But we're still digging into it, obviously.
I got to thank you for taking it on. I know that you have to battle, without getting into the details of it, law firms that had it and weren't doing the appropriate thing. And that's just my opinion, not Eric's. And I appreciate you stepping into the middle of it because I know it's taken a lot of time and effort. I can't thank you enough.
Certainly appreciate the opportunity to help good people. So,
all right, folks, we'll be right back. All right, I got Eric here. We're going to get to him in a second, but I wanted to grab Matthew because I grew up here. We were driving downtown with the family in the Kaufman's building, the Kaufman's clock. You guys get it. It's gorgeous, actually, quite frankly. it's a blessing because that area was dead and there's so much hope. And I saw this hotel and I asked one of my buddies who's an insider in the hotel business, and I said, we got to get the new folks on because it's very interesting. He said, it's called the Even Hotel. It's IHG brand, very focused on health and fitness, which actually intrigues me. And I want to bring Matt in here. Matt Scholler, good morning, Matt. How are you?
Marty, good morning.
So is that spot on? I hear that because I'm a fitness guy. I'm actually kind of a nut about it. And when I go to a hotel, it's got to have fitness. So you're into this at this hotel, huh?
Yeah, so the premise that of the Even brand is that there are 18 million travelers who put exercise clothes in their bag when they go on a business trip. And they really don't want to fall off the wagon, right? They want to have a great gym. They want to eat healthy, have a good night's sleep. And there was no hotel chain that was really focused on providing that for those 18 million people. So the Even brand was created. We are the 12th hotel in the chain, 11th to open. And there will be about another 10 or so at the end of the year. So the end of 2020. So we're very excited, obviously, to be in the Coffins building, which is, you know, you can throw any epithet, right? Iconic, beloved. It's really, you know, a cornerstone of downtown. Very happy to be part of the renaissance of that building.
Man, I saw your entryway. It's gorgeous, and I was thrilled. In fact, I've got Eric Chafin here, and he's more of a workout nut than I am. In fact, Eric just did the New York City Marathon. When you travel, man, is it important that you have a hotel where you can work out?
Yeah, in fact, the Even branded hotels, I've actually stayed at them. They're great hotels. I'm really heavily involved in the Peloton community as well.
And wow.
Many of my friends love the Even hotels. They're great.
Cool.
Thanks, Eric.
You know, it's interesting, Matthew, that you go to these hotels and they're beautiful, and you go down to the workout room and it's dark and there's some beat up elliptical trainer. I get angry. Do you get that feedback? Is that the genesis of this brand?
You know, certainly many hotels that whatever the workout facilities are very often an afterthought, right? So it's in the basement. It's a couple of treadmills. You know, maybe they were replaced 10 years ago. Yeah. We have a state-of-the-art gym. It's right smack in our lobby. It's up front and center.
Nice.
In the spring, we'll have two endless pools, which are, you know, you swim against the current. Whoa. That's a piece of our fitness equipment. And then every guest room, well, we have 160 rooms, has fitness equipment in it as well. So we have a toning bar.
Whoa.
And a Pilates ball, yoga mat, so you can, you know, go to the gym or you can do it right in your room.
Wow.
So big part of our premise.
And we're so hopeful, man. I got to thank you for doing this because, honestly, that area of town was dark, literally and figuratively. And there's hope now, is there not, sir?
The renaissance of Smithfield Street,
yep.
Right, and all of the residential development has been going on downtown. I think downtown's really become a 24-hour zone now. It's not just for people coming down to work. There are a few thousand people living downtown, including 300 apartments upstairs from us in the Coffins building. So I think that all of that has led to, you know, and obviously, you know, part of the development we're doing as well, leads to downtown just being revitalized across the board. So, you know, very happy to be a piece of that solution.
I'm thrilled, my man. I grew up here. I'm going to come down. I'm going to call you because I want to check it out. I'm a big workout guy. Do you mind?
I would be thrilled, Marty.
All right, my man.
Come do your show from the hotel.
Oh, wow. There's an idea. I can work out during the show. Thanks, pal.
There you go. Okay, thanks for having me.
Yeah. I jump around here, as you folks know, and Eric is a workout guy. I'm kind of... if I don't work out, I have a gym in my basement, I get a little weird. It's that important to my body. Is it that way for you?
Yeah, you know, I think I used to hear people say that they get hooked on that running high, for example, on the cardio, and I didn't understand it. And then, you know, train for the marathon, I really, really got into it. And I'm with you. It's feel different.
Yeah.
You know, people who suffer from depression, for example, and generally in society, it's one of the best proven ways to overcome depression and fight depression. Look outside right now. It's a gray, gloomy day. You know, you got to figure out a way to get those endorphins going, and movement is the best way to do that.
One of the things that kept me going when I had cancer, quite frankly, was being able to work out in my basement. The doctors thought I was a little nuts, but I would have been nuts if I didn't. And you mentioned you're a big advocate of this company with the bikes.
Yeah, you know, I do a lot of Peloton spending. They've got a little controversy going right now because the commercial they have.
This is why I can't believe you said, I love this bike. I love this company.
Yeah.
And I find this... I'm so glad you're here. And you tell me the truth. Isn't that ignorant for people to believe that commercial is offensive? I saw it and thought, cool.
Yeah. You know, first of all, I mean, I think for Peloton as a company, I think the fact anyone's talking about the brand
right.
is a good thing, obviously. In terms of the people I know, and I know a lot of them, I know people who are executives of companies that I ride with to, you know, people that grew up like I did. I mean, just a variety of people. And regardless of who you speak with, the women, they're like, they laugh about it. They're like, are you kidding me? This is a great exercise tool. It's, I mean, to suggest some way the husband's giving the wife a bike in order to lose weight or something like that is just ridiculous.
It's misogynist. And
it is. And, you know, they look at it from the opposite side, which is from the woman's perspective, which is, wow, what a beautiful gesture by a husband to give her a gift to where she is able to efficiently work out and do things and enjoy those endorphins that we just talked about. I mean, so it's a little ludicrous from my perspective. I agree with you, but
the,
you know,
cancel culture, man, it's troubling to me that if you're offended by a commercial, so let's destroy the company. And as a lawyer, we're seeing more of this turn into litigation. I even heard there could be lawsuits from this. And by the way, my wife loves spinning. As a result, we love this idea. Mm-hmm. Isn't it kind of offensive to you as a lawyer who handles great cases and represents good people that we end up being so litigious over ridiculousness, sir?
Yeah, you know, the unfortunate thing, and I think the Chamber of Commerce has done a really good job with it, but the unfortunate thing is you get bad lawsuits, and unfortunately you get into court and you try to pick a jury, for example, and you automatically have all these barriers to overcome of this jaded view of the tort system because of really just bad lawsuits.
It's really true. And they all think that every lawyer is sleazy and all you're doing is chasing a buck. You fight this every day, don't you?
Every day. You know, in fact, when I came out of the U.S. Attorney's Office, you know, as a federal prosecutor in New York, it was so difficult because, you know, I walked in the court with instant credibility in talking to jurors, talking to the court. And the reason why is because we had a principle is, justice shall you seek is what we had as a prosecutor, which means is in the process of doing justice, you have to be civil and do justice as well. And so you have to conduct yourself in that way. And so that's really the genesis of our firm. The doing good by doing right motto came from that because, you know, we endeavor to be a different type of plaintiff's firm. You know, we're not out there to be the cheapest guys in town. We're not out there to be the sensational group. We're really out there to do a solid job for our clients and also do good in the communities. And so, you know, that's just our motto.
No one knows you're the pride of West Virginia. You went to this obscure law school. You could call it that.
Yeah,
so
it's
you don't have to go to Harvard to be a success, do you, sir?
No, you know, it's about, you know, a good work ethic, treating people well, and really just building a great team. And we were very fortunate across our firm. We have great people at our firm. Everybody who's answering the phones from initial calls through the guys trying the cases and gals trying the cases, it's just we have really good people at our firm. We're fortunate.
All right, I want to talk to some of the big litigation, some of the product recall litigation when we come back. Do you mind?
Yeah, that'd be great.
All right, we've got Eric Chafin from Chafin Lahan. Be right back. It's Marty Griffin with Eric Chafin. So you see these things happen. There are massive recalls, and I wanted to get into some of them with you because I think it's important in massive litigation, and we hear it's dangerous. A lot of these Roundup cases, man, are they valid? Is it dangerous? What do consumers do?
Yeah, so a couple of things, Marty. I mean, one is, you know, I enjoy the opportunity to talk about this stuff with you, not because we're chasing cases, but more so because it's really important, I think, for the consuming public to understand, you know, what products they might have in their garage and their medicine cabinet. You know, I grew up with a dad. We worked on cars all the time, you know, paint strippers, right? I mean, that was something we used all the time. Now what we know about paint strippers and
people
what was
die.
In, people die, right? And so with Roundup, it's not been recalled. It's out there. Glyphosate is actually the ingredient in it. It's one of the most popular herbicides out there. But the reality is that it causes non-Hodgkin's lymphoma is what the allegations are. Three sets of jurors in different locations have heard the evidence. They've hit Bayer, which now owns Monsanto, with tremendous verdicts. And so this is there, and it's a product that people still have and use all the time.
My man to your left, Patrick, my partner in shooting up here right now, he uses it on his backyard, should he?
No.
Not at all.
I wouldn't be using it. I mean, there's so many alternatives that are safe that, you know, you can use, you know, simple vinegar with a mixture that will do the same thing, frankly. It may not last as long. And look, you know, if you're going to use it, you know, take the utmost protection, which frankly, the problem with the backyard is people don't. They're not using gloves. They're not using a respirator, right? I mean, I don't know about you, Patrick, but like, you know, that's just the reality, unfortunately. And look, it's everybody from, you know, the people that are using their backyard to people that are using on commercial purpose as well in these big fields, because we're all getting it in our bodies and some level because it's in so many products now, or different foods that we consume, obviously.
I'm fascinated by the Zantac because it's so pervasive and it's ubiquitous and everyone uses it. Is it dangerous to use this?
So here's the thing with Zantac. You know, there's an ingredient called NDMA. It's a known carcinogen. There's been many animal studies. There hasn't been a formal study in humans because, frankly, you can't study it in humans because it causes cancer. That's the concern.
Oh.
But NDMA actually first came up with Valsartan product, which is a blood pressure medication, a number of months back. And there were some studies of Valsartan, and all of a sudden they were like, wait, there's NDMA in the product. Like, what's going on? And so there were some recalls around it. Fast forward to earlier this year, and with Zantac, there's actually, this is this kind of story that I just love, frankly.
Sure, sure.
But, you know, there's one of the online pharmacies that they would actually test the lots of product coming to them. And, you know, Zantac has, you know, generic formulations over the counter as well as prescription. We get into all that. But they tested some of them, and what they were looking for is just like what's in the product to make sure there's no impurities in it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the reason why they were doing it is because the CEO on that particular one was one of the executive's daughters, actually one of the co-founder's daughters, was actually getting ready to use the product. And so they tested it. And when they tested it, they found out that there was NDMA in the product. And apparently the molecules within the product itself can combine in the acid of the stomach to actually form MDMA because of the ingredients of the product is what people believe is happening. But the point is when you look at the amount that's allowed by the FDA in products, it's, you know, it's less than 100 nanograms.
And so don't use it or use it? What do you say?
I say don't use it.
Okay.
And the doctors say that too. If you look at any of the national press around this with the doctors, they'll say, if you've got so many other alternatives, don't use the product. And unfortunately, it can cause various types of cancers in the body. We're looking at cases. We have many clients in the litigation, frankly.
Yeah.
But you know, it's really people that have many different types of cancer. Sloan Kettering out of New York is getting ready to publish a study about this. So there's a lot of science evolving. And unfortunately, you know, these are products that have been around for a long time. People use them as an acid inhibitor. Small children use them. And we're seeing cancer.
I use it a lot, man. I had acid reflux. So
there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a lot of alternatives out there that don't have the same risk.
And I had throat cancer. All right. So thank you, my man. It's always a pleasure. We're not trying to scare you, folks. We're trying to inform you, and it's been a pleasure. I love it when every time you're here.
I appreciate your time, Marty.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.